Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Here's the Thing. I'm your host, LJ Downey, and today we're going to be talking about Dark Side of the Ring's newest episode, Blood and Wire, Onita's FMW. Come on in with me, folks, and welcome to Here's the Thing. Going on this morning, everybody. Welcome back to Here's the Thing. And today, like I said at the top of the hour, we're going to be reviewing Blood and Wire, Onita's FMW. Might I say, this was a very, it was crazy to see, all the different style matches Onita put on and, how he had everything in his hands. He was famous. He got a lot of money from it and then, gave it over to a friend and, things went, downhill. It was crazy. And, watching this made me go onto YouTube and search up FMW matches. And, I've been watching some of the hardcore matches. I actually watched Onita versus Terry Funk. And might I say that was probably, a crazy match, from start to finish. The emotional looks, they both looked like they were ready to kill. But, it was a great episode. It started off with a warning uncensored content that started flashing beep, beep, beep on the screen. And first thing we see is exploding barbed wire and a real ring exploding. And it was FMW Frontier Martial Arts Wrestling, founded by Onita, brought the bloodshed in 1989. Talking Heads discussed Onita's willingness to bleed to death every night, and he became a legend for hardcore wrestling. This dude even had electric pool matches. Like, they would throw guys into the pool, and next thing you know, explosions would go up. It was insane. They got Terry Funk on there. They have Sabu. They have Chris Jericho, who's obviously, hosting or whatever they call. And then, they had the CEO of FMW and their daughter and his daughter, and then Atsushi Onita starts off by saying, he's thankful for his promotion and he's here to talk about it. And he said, when he was younger, he saw pro wrestling magazines, just like anybody else did, just like when we first saw wrestling, he immediately thought it was amazing and wanted to be part of it. And that's how he started his journey. He started watching wrestling, and then he was reading comics and wanted to become a pro wrestler. The late great Terry Funk came in and, he introduced himself. He's Terry Funk, ECW legend, ECW icon. He's a guy that just, will do anything, is willing to do anything to make the audience go crazy. And the guy's, up until 60 something years old, he was still wrestling. I remember ECW One Night Stand 2006. See, Terry Funk wrestling was amazing. Mick Foley came in. He said he referred to himself as the King of Death Matches. Said for years he was basically like the American Onita, because he was doing all this crazy shit to his body, getting scarred up, going through falling on thumbtacks, going through barbed wire, getting hit with fire, the whole nine yards. And Onita was drawn to Terry Funk's style. You know, that heart, you know, that the style that Terry Funk had. It wasn't sloppy. It wasn't pretty. It was just straight up just nasty smash mouth in your face. I'm going to mess you up and I'm going to look, you know, funky doing it. But, yeah, Onita was drawn to their style and he said, you know, he wanted to be, you know, he wanted to be like them. And Terry Funk laughs at, you know, being, you know, he's, you know, he says, well, being Terry Funk is a horrible thing. He wanted to be an idiot too. But Onita goes on to, he starts to speak about the community among wrestlers and how they talk amongst each other. He trusted Terry Funk the most. Terry Funk took him in and, you know, think about it. Terry Funk is this, you know, Texas ranch guy, American. And then Onita's this Japanese guy who he didn't really speak English, much of English, but they both live together. You know, complete opposites can get along, I guess. You know, Onita was in the Dominican and didn't agree with the promoters wanted to do, and he actually got the crap kicked out of him by several wrestlers down there. Then he showed up to Armillo and Funk, took him under his wing, like I said. Even though they didn't understand each other, Funk bought Onita a used car, got him a job, and sent him on the road. You know, gave him his chance. Why not? And Onita and Masafuchi traveled the U.S. and got involved in the infamous Topelo concession stand brawl in CWA in 1981 against Eddie Gilbert and Ricky Morton. Stuff was insane, man. Onita says Tennessee was the one of the birth of hardcore wrestling for him. He mentions a young woman kicked him in the face with her heels and gashed his face open. He realized at that moment hardcore wrestling, you know, had people excited. It had people drawn. And I can relate to, you know, hardcore wrestling. You know, I was at a GCW event where they had barbed wire and, you know, thumbtacks and glass and light tubes and all that. It was different. It was cool to see. It's a different kind of wrestling. And Onita ends up returning to All Japan and looked to be on the verge of being a top star. And then a freak accident happens. He was leaving the ring. And I guess after he, you know, was jumping down, he breaks a bone that pops out of his knee through his skin. His kneecap was shattered and he was told there was no coming back. It took away his athleticism. He became limited as an athlete, so he created something that had never been done before. Challenged a real-life karate champion in a series of wrestler versus martial art matches. The rivalry drew, you know, massive crowds, drew headlines, you know, they even showed a powerbomb that looked like it killed the guy. And like, the thing is, when they're getting powerbombed, it's like they're landing like right on the back of their head. It seems like it's insane. And, you know, the birth of FMW, you know, they gave the high flying heavyweights and women all a chance, but the main draw was the blood and guts. Barbed wire matches. Mick Foley says real injuries are not a bad thing. Mick Foley's crazy. I don't want any injuries. Sabu said it sucks. I mean, straight up, just said it sucks. You know, they're all encouraged and impossible. You know, they are encouraged and impossible to avoid. Funk says that they had a lot of guys that would go to no end and destroy their bodies in attempt to have the best match. And, you know, Onita says that he learned barbed wire was pretty scary and pretty frightening. And, you know, after the barbed wire, what do you got next? You got the electrical shocks with barbed wire. Onita wanted to continue to do things different. He wanted to do things Baba and Aoki would never think of doing. And forgive me, everybody, if I'm out there pronouncing that wrong. Pronouncing any of these Japanese names wrong. I apologize. But Foley says he was at an FMW show where there is a female wrestler who was burned by a fireball, and literally in the episode, it shows her shoulder and you could see the skin like burning off and like peeling. And then it shows a picture of her just laying down there crying, you know, all the blood and everything. And I'm just like, and you know, and the way that he was describing it, saying that, you know, he could just hear her, you know, scream and, you know, just in pain. And it's just like, man. And he had to put that aside. He had to put those feelings of, oh, I, you know, let's go see if she needs help, because he had to go out there and wrestle. Now just imagine you're getting ready, you're about to go out and wrestle, and all of a sudden the girl that comes back who was out there before you in the match before you comes back, her shoulder's nearly burnt off, and you can see the bone, and her skin's gone, it's all burnt, it's all bubbly. Just imagine seeing that. That's going to make you think, man, can't wait to see what I have to go through. But, yeah, like I said, Sabu was in this episode. They showed a great highlight video of him. He said he wasn't invited to FMW. He got there by accident. And all that was thanks, to his uncle, the Sheik. He talks, his uncle being the Sheik, and Onita was one of the young boys in Japan that took care of the Sheik. 20 years later, Onita is running FMW and invites the Sheik to come on out and for barbed wire tag matches. And that's when Sheik said, "Hey Sabu, you're coming with me," and he brought his nephew with him. They went on, Foley and Sabu went on to talk about how much, you know, barbed wire just sucks. It's not fun. And then this is where, you know, Sabu, you know, homicidal, genocidal, death-defying Sabu. Like, suicidal. This guy is, if you don't know who Sabu is, go back and look up some, you know, old classic ECW matches. I'm pretty sure his name will pop up. But this man went through everything. He got cut up so many times. Said his first night that he went to the hospital, to the ER, they took too long to stitch him up. He said he was in there all night. So instead, all he would do is literally glue. He was crazy glue his cuts back together and then tape them. And then they'd just scar up. Like, the guy's walking around with scars all over his body, and the way that he took care of all those injuries and lacerations, he freaking crazy glued them and taped them. He taped up his own arm and glue. Doesn't that hurt to take off? I mean, I guess the guy doesn't feel pain. I mean, it's absolutely insane. And, you know, and Foley, you know, said, man, looking at Sabu and looking at me, it makes me look like what I did was made Foley look like a preschooler. You know, going on after Sabu, you know, seeing that he was in there, and then I talked about, you know, how they had that fire match and everything, and that's where his Sheik, you know, the Sheik, you know, I really thought the Sheik was dead in that match. I thought they were about to say, oh, this is where, you know, he died in the ring, but no, he got out, but unfortunately 60% of his body was burnt. And like I said, Onita, he was limited physically, you know, the audience looked like him. You know, they faced fear on a nightly basis, but you had to embrace it. Onita would take a beating, would spill all his blood and his juice, as he says, to the point where he would be crying and the fans would be with him. Like, the fans were so connected. The fans were Onita. And one thing that was interesting, they played Wild Thing. They played Wild Thing, and the place goes insane singing it. I mean, I didn't think that he had the Wild Thing song as his theme song. I thought that was, you know, just some from that baseball movie and then, you know, John Moxley's song. But, hey, you know, he came out the Wild Thing and the whole place is singing it. I like it. And he would get in an ambulance and ride out of the arena like a superhero. And this show, and you know, eventually Onita started making lots of money. You know, he was saying that he was making, you know, around $2 million a year. You know, fast, you know, he said he bought a 4-bedroom house, 5 cars, all this, and he was like a king. And Terry Funk says Onita had some sticky fingers because he took all the money. And all that success, you know, brought him some side effects and a big head. You know, 5 cars, the big house, $2 million a year at his peak. And his fortune also came from the ties to the Yakuza. And Funk says, you know, they're in control of the arenas. It's like a Japanese mafia. It was a money laundering scheme. And Foley Foley said it was a lot of the sponsors were... they were out at dinner and they were missing pinky fingers. I have no idea what the missing pinky finger means, but to me, that seemed pretty strange. Like, just imagine, you know, you're meeting with these guys, you know, they're the mafia and, you know, they're very intimidating people. And then, you know, you're cheering, you know, doing some cheers with them, you know, having a drink, saying cheers. And next thing you know, you don't see a pinky. But, you know, Foley said when he was in the situation, he's like, you know, he has to accept it. You know, he may feel uncomfortable. You know, he wasn't comfortable with it, may feel uncomfortable, but you know what? He had to accept it. Sabu, and then this was crazy. Sabu was told to stay away from certain sections as, you know, there's going to be, certain 10 guys sitting there's going to be like 10 guys sitting in one section with 50 empty chairs. And you don't really tell Sabu what to do. So he brawled outside where the mob bosses were. After that, the mob went after Sabu. They went knocking on their door, asked, you know, saying, hey, they're looking for you. And then they came, you know, he tried running away. Next thing you know, he gets stopped by the mafia. They threw him to the ground, start stomping on him. And out comes Mike Awesome. And Mike Awesome, 6 foot, what, you know, 6 foot six, seven, however tall this guy is, he's freaking huge. Came out there and started throwing all these freaking little Japanese guys out of the way. Get the fuck out of here. Get out of here. Boom, boom. Sabu jumped up, gave him a hug and said, you know, thanks, man. You know, you saved my life. And he loves him still to this day after that. The match between Terry Funk and Onita that I said that I watched, they put on the Exploding Ring Death Match. Now I can see where, you know, AEW got their idea of the Exploding Ring Death Match from. And some people will try to knock a company for, oh, well, they did that back in the day. You know, they did that so long ago. Well, you know, sometimes history likes to repeat itself. Okay? And, you know, just give it a chance. Give it a chance to let history repeat itself. They obviously didn't do too well with it. And, you know, it is what it is. But here, they had nearly 40,000 people in that stadium. And If anybody ever watched previews, you know, Funk says, you know, he called the people in the front row idiots because it's like, oh, we're going to be at a, oh, there's going to be an exploding ring death match tonight. We want front row. Bullshit. You want front row? You might get a toe blown off. And like I said, this is what Mox and Omega were going for. You know, literally that's what it was, you know, and it was pretty cool to try to see them, reenact it, but Terry Funk, you know, the match, yeah, I believe Onita won the match, and time was going down, time kept going down, and Terry was in the ring, he wasn't moving. Onita runs back in, smacks him, tries to wake him up, get up, 4-3, and he just covers him. And perfect, you know, it was, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it right now. I'm literally getting goosebumps as I'm talking. And, you know, to see a guy like that, you know, these guys beat the hell out of each other. They look like they hated each other, but he said, no, he's got to go in and save the guy that took him in and gave him his chance. And, you know, they made history right there. And I watched that match and wow, I was amazed. And after that, you know, Onita was all over the place in Japan. Anytime you'd see him, he'd always be on TV. You know, and you could go out like he did, you know, with several million dollars. Like, why not? You know, and he started working in commercials and all that. And Shakoi Arai, the FMW ring announcer, ends up taking control of the company where he has no idea what to do. His daughter, Shoikai Arai, says her dad, you know, was a real nice guy, but he had no idea what he was doing when it came to running a wrestling promotion. And you could literally see the differences in Onita and then Arari. Oh no, daughter of Shikari. Yeah, next is Shell, who is the daughter of Arari is Shell. But yeah, I said that she's not, you know, he didn't know what he was doing. You know, Funk said he gave jack shit to the ring. You know, Funk said that, yeah, Onita said he gave jack shit to the ring announcer. Barely gave him any money. You know, and after that, that's when you saw the FMW went from packed arenas to just a few hundred people by 1995. And that's when Onita realized, you know, he did one movie, realized, you know, his star was fading, and he returned to FMW as a heel. Arari wanted to move away from the whole deathmatch scene, and Sabu back set up as they wouldn't air their shows unless it was special. Arari hires Fuyuki, and he brings a belt called World Entertainment Wrestling, WEW. And his ideas included men getting in a circle, pissing on an opponent, eating gross foods, and firecrackers in ass. So basically, this is like, hi, I'm Johnny Knoxville, and welcome to Jackass. Basically. I mean, how can you go from literally having, you know, decent matches, the hardcore matches, all these exciting things, and then straight to peeing on somebody in the ring? Like, what the fuck is that? Like, what is that? Like, way to, you know, why? Like, you can definitely see the difference in between people and, you know, in their visions. But Onita says they were going to have a meeting. And Arari said he was going to have a meeting, and he lied to him. The ring, Arari told Onita to leave FMW as they were going to run Hayabusa Busa on top. So Inida was kicked out of the place that he built. And, you know, Hayabusa struggled to draw the crowds, but he's a high-flying style, was gaining a lot of popularity and gaining fans. Unfortunately, October 22nd, 2001, and I remember seeing this video on YouTube when I was, you know, just a kid. I was like 12, 13 years old. And I had no idea this was him until now. And he, Hayabusa was in a match. He tried to springboard moonsault off the second rope and slips. And God, he lands literally right on his forehead, but going backwards, trying to flip. And man, I'm clinching thinking about it. He lands directly on his head and bends back in a way that is, oh man, I'm in, you know, my back is flaring up thinking about this, you know, and dude wasn't getting up. That was it, man. You know, especially when you land like that, that's it, you know, gone, you know. Sabu said that he would have rather died, you know, if something like that happened to him, he would have rather died than be paralyzed. And, you know, unfortunately, his daughter was mentioning he was depressed and worried about the future. And, you know, Foley touched on, you know, his career was cut short in its prime. And with him went FMW. You know, they weren't bringing any money. Ari was apparent, you know, the Arari was apparently using money from his family to pay what he could in FMW. And Onita says Arari was too proud to ask for help. And the Yakuza came calling as well, and that is never a good thing. And the Yakuza is the Japanese mafia, and it's never a good thing when they come calling. And, you know, his wife and his kids, you know, they were being put through all that. You know, his phone was constantly ringing because when, you know, you owe them money, they will make sure they get it back one way or another. It doesn't matter what you do with yourself. They are going to get that money, whether it's from you or somebody you know or probably your family. But, you know, his wife couldn't handle all the the stressful situation and dealing with that, so they got divorced. Hell, Sabu said his last match he wasn't paid, and the next day, Arari killed himself. Hung himself in a schoolyard. It's, suicide is a very touchy subject, and you know, this guy did it in a schoolyard. Wondered why, but you know, I think just a lot of what he was going through, you know, is the company was failing. One of the big stars he thought that he had was paralyzed. He owed money to the Japanese mafia, and he couldn't take it anymore and went and killed himself. But that doesn't stop the Japanese mafia from getting what they want. The death triggers a life insurance payment, but it can't cover his debts. The house was seized, and his family was never able to get back and get their stuff. His daughter was saying that they had nothing. She didn't have anything. And Onita, he said, I don't want to talk ill of the dead, but Ari failed in business. I'm still here. I survived somehow. And Arari's daughter feels Onita used her dad because he was too kind and too pure. That's why he's gone. Onita doesn't think it was the Japanese Yakuza or the loan sharks. And then he lights up a cigarette, and he, as he talks about it, and says, you can't get away from Depps. Tell them you can't pay. It was more of an emotional thing for Arari, and man, you know, like, cold. Like, don't you want to, like, say, man, you know, it sucks that he was gone or whatever, but man, you know, just lit up a cigarette. Man, cold. But, you know, FMW rose one more time after, you know, one more time after that with Onita back in the ring in 2015. Hayabusa was part of the show, and it's sad seeing him. It was sad to see him come out in a wheelchair like the way that he does. And unfortunately, tragedy strikes again. Less than a year later, Hayabusa collapsed in his home and dies at the age of 47. His daughter mentions his injury never stopped him from doing the things that he loved. Foley said he was Hayabusa was able to walk again, and it was one of the most emotional moments you'll ever see when he was able to walk to the ring. He had the little crutches, and he was able to walk. It was awesome. And, you know, FMW and its legacy it had, it was great. Foley said it was part of a wrestling history, and it's still borrowed from to this day, like the exploding barbed wire death match. They had Moxley and Omega try it out. Did they do as great as them? Probably not. But hey, you know, my thing is, you know, history always repeats itself, and sometimes it's nice to go back and try to, hey, let's try to emulate, let's try to use that. You know, because why not use the things back then that was great and try to use them on your show today? You know, I give them, you know, props for trying that, for giving them a chance, you know, taking a chance on it. But hey, that's what you do when you're a company. You take chances, you either fail or you do well, and then you move on. That's it. And Onita, you know, he got the final words of the episode. He said, it's like this. Hulk Hogan is Hulk Hogan. No one can replace him. Onita Inoki is Antonio Inoki. Giant Baba is Giant Baba. Onita Atushi can only be Onita Atushi, Sushi. I can't say his last name. I'm sorry, everybody. But one generation, no successor. And that wrapped up the episode. So, man, a lot of FMW's, you know, influenced, you know, we saw in today and even years ago with ECW. And wow, what a great episode. I'm looking forward to the next episode, which is going to be Johnny Canine. And until next time, all y'all have a good day. Go enjoy yourselves. It's Friday, TGIF. Enjoy your weekend, everybody.